So when I meditate on what I'm going to talk about at these services, you really give me the topic. Whatever people are talking to me about during the week, I always think, okay, here's something that needs to be brought up, needs to be expanded on, need to share what Unity sees as the solution or the answer to what we're going through here. For the past 2 weeks, all I've been hearing is God. God, 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 God. Who is God? Where is God? What's happening? Why is God not answering my prayer? Why is God doing this to me? Why should I bother with God if God doesn't bother with me? Why should I come on Sunday morning? When I've been doing this prayer, this affirmation, this work, you say we do in Unity, and I don't see anything. Okay, I have to admit this. I really, really dislike God. I really, really hated God when I had to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning on a freezing winter day in Missouri to take a Bible class at 7 o'clock in the morning. You know, there's just so much scary about that one sentence. 6 o'clock a.m., freezing, Missouri, the Bible, Missouri. Ugh. It was awful. It was just awful. I mean, I love the idea of being a minister. It really filled my heart to know that I was going to be doing this work, but I didn't want anything to do with the Bible. Have you read that thing? Oh, Lord. The Bible is just so biblical. Especially 7 o'clock in the morning. Like, what is this? It's a really violent book. Have you read it? You know, there are actually some parents who tried to get it banned and actually got the Bible banned from schools because it is so violent and pretty sexy in some places. Have you read the Song of Solomon? Read it when you go home. It's like, oh my God. It's really out there. It really is. Your belly is a heap of wheat. Baby. Your neck is like a tower. Oh, wow. I mean, it's really violent. Mass circumcision. Especially if you're a guy, it's like, oh, my God. And not even a brisk brunch afterwards. I mean, just. Remember the guy who picked up a stick on the Sabbath? What happened to him? God blew him away. Because it was a Sabbath and he picked up a stick. Like, oh, God. That's a little harsh. And the cast of characters that we see here, I mean, you know, we call them God-inspired and holy and sacred, but they're really kind of nasty. If you look at them, Abraham pretended that his wife was his sister so Pharaoh wouldn't get mad at him. Pharaoh took out Sarah, and then God gave all these boils and everything to the Pharaoh, and he got mad anyway. He's like, Abraham, tell me next time that I'm taking your wife out. King David stole his general's wife Bathsheba and then sent him to battle to be killed. Nice guy. Solomon enslaved his own people to build his mega mansion, which ended up being bigger than the temple to God. God was not happy about that. Lot offered his virgin daughters to a gang of men who came to attack his visitors. He said, "Do to my girls as you please, but please don't touch the guys." Thank you, Dad. Oh, nice. Peter cursed a married couple who didn't tithe to the new Christian community and they died. I'm just saying. I'm just reporting. I'm not interpreting for you. Considering whom he had representing him, God doesn't really come off well in these stories at all. God himself often acted like a classic raging alcoholic. You ever notice that? Early in the Bible? And occasionally, he acted like a complete mentally imbalanced abuser who should have been locked up for violence against his creation. It's just astonishing to see this early version of God at work. But who's going to tell God to knock it off, right? Like, you tell him. He's your God. He was your God too. So how exactly did this God come to be worshipped and adored when all the time he was acting like the worst examples of humankind that he kept punishing over and over again? He kept punishing and killing off people who were not acting half as bad as he was. We begin with the God. What's God doing when we first see? God is walking around the garden, wondering where Adam and Eve are. After all, he told them, don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because what it's going to do, it's going to make you really smart. God was a new parent. He didn't understand what he was doing. So they went, oh, we'll be real smart. Let's eat from the tree. Because they were kind of dumb. So they said, oh, we can become smart like God. So what happened after they ate the fruit? They were kicked out for almost all of eternity. They were not allowed back in. Adam had to work non-union. And Eve had to go through 72 hours of labor when she was giving childbirth. Seems a little excessive from eating fruit. So what happened with God? God seemed to have gotten mellower a little bit as got older. But 4,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, the writers of the Bible felt a little unnerved by what they found in their lives. Their lives were constantly being threatened from outside of them. Unfriendly tribes and their neighbors were always trying to kill them or take their land. Horrible weather conditions, meaning that if the crops weren't growing, they didn't eat that year. They might die if there were no crops. Invaders from other countries trying to take their land away, never mind their neighbors. And living a life that was almost physically impossible to survive in and to imagine today. We can't possibly imagine what it was like living back then. It's inconceivable how hard and treacherous life was. Thank God they only lived to 20 or 30, because it was really hard to take that. The reasons these things happened, they surmised, when they looked outside of themselves, well, God must be angry with us because we're worshiping the other tribes' gods. The Hebrews believed that their God was more powerful, but they thought, yeah, the other tribes do have other gods, but our God is better than your God. My God is bigger than yours and can take your God any day. That was what their belief was. But now, as we progress through the Bible, we find a different kind of God. What happened? Did God mellow out? Did God get too old to lash out? Oh, I don't have the energy anymore. Locusts, who can, forget about it. Just play nice with each other, it'll be good. Okay, fine. I'm going to take a nap now. Is that what happened? It seemed like that God just kind of relaxed a little bit. No, what happened was we grew. Humankind grew in its understanding of who this God was. We got a higher understanding. God didn't change, we changed. We became aware of who and what God was. As Jesus taught us from the great Hebrew teachers who taught him and from Deuteronomy, that God is good, that this goodness existed in all life, that God, this God, good God, was within our very being itself, that God was not an ogre waiting to get us. The unity number one principle is God is absolute good. That's what we're here to joyfully proclaim, that God is good. Now, Robert Yarnell posted on my page today when I was announcing what the talk was that he really liked the idea of only one presence, one power. That is a wonderful concept to get. And he said, at the end, God is good, God the good, or as we used to say, God the good omnipotence, was less kind of exciting to him. Is that right? Where's Robert? Yeah. That was kind of like, okay. The first part I like, the second part I could do without. The limit that we have is language. When we talk about God good, we use the capital G to say, this is God, this is good. Because language is binary. We're always comparing something to the other. So God is good, not in comparison to something else, but good, period. There's only goodness when we are dwelling within God. And as the writers went along, they began to realize that this was the God that Jesus was talking about, the loving Father, Mother within. There's only one power, one presence, one love, one life, one joy, one good, and that's God. And because God is a good within us, waiting for us to say, I accept my good, we have to take a new thought, a new idea, a new way of looking at this God that we have been afraid of or have been standing back from because it's been too nasty for us to deal with. So we have to take a new idea that my life is meant to be good because God is good and I'm a creation of that good. That life is meant to be healthy, that my life is meant to be prosperous and successful, that my life is meant to be lived in joy. I'm here to enjoy my life. That my life is meant to be shared with others, and that good that I, the joy that I have is meant to be shared to multiply it so it can come back to me. We have a new understanding shared by that great teacher we call Jesus that we aren't punished by God because of our sin, quote unquote, for breaking divine law, but because of the experience, because of the result of having and maintaining a negative consciousness and a consciousness of lack, of limitation. Whether we're doing it consciously or unconsciously, the result is the same. Because we multiply 2 times 2 and come up with 38 doesn't mean that God is mad at us and God is bouncing our checks. It just means I've taken the principle and I have misapplied it and it has come back to me in a way that I don't like. What do I need to do? I need to re-examine the correct principle, that's all, and then it begins to work out. I have misapplied the principle of math. I just reapply it and I see it work in my favor. When I misapply the divine principle of abundance by affirming, I never have enough to get by. Or this recession is going to drive me out of New York. Or this job is killing me. Or no one wants to hire me. These are lovely affirmations that I invite you not to use anymore. They do not work. They never have worked. They do work, but they work in the opposite direction. I am calling forth a reality that is not in alignment with the good that the universe desires to move through me. That's all. I'm misapplying the principle. I'm using the principle correctly. I'm just not applying it to the way that I want. So whatever you want for your life, you can call it forth. If you don't want to get hired, just keep affirming nobody will hire me and watch that work. If you want to work, then change your affirmation. Change what you're saying about you and your life over and over and over again. So what are you planting in the fertile soil of your mind and heart? Fear, discontent, anger, jealousy, lack, limitation. Or abundance, strength, love, joy, peace, success, and blissed out, wonderful life that you have no idea exists for you at this point. That life is waiting for you when you change your mind and say, this can happen and this is happening. It's unfolding. Thank you, universe. Thank you. I am so grateful. So the truth is what I think, feel, speak, and act on will take form in my life and as in fact already is. What you're thinking, what you're feeling, what you're saying and acting yesterday and today is what your life is. To say, why is this not working? Take a look and say, what have I been affirming? What have I been believing about my life? As powerful God beings, we have the power to create the life that we would like to have. That's a wonderful, wonderful, powerful truth that we have in unity. My life is as I call it. What am I calling forth in my life? What am I creating? What have I created so far in this thing called my life? If I affirm I'm a prosperous child of God, I demand my good, yet I feel, well, I haven't really earned my success yet. I'm not good enough to have it. Dad's right, I'm too selfish. I shouldn't have moved to New York. Who do I think I am? Then what's happening is the thought that I'm holding that I'm successful and the other thought I shouldn't have come here cancel each other out. And then nothing happens. We neutralize the truth that we're looking to express. So the unlimited good of God that is waiting in potential within me is simply sitting there because it has nowhere to go according to my thoughts, my feelings, and the words I'm using and the actions I'm not taking. God is not doing anything to me. I'm not allowing it to happen. Again, God is simply waiting. The energy of love, life, power of life is waiting for me to make my mind up, to get real clear about what it is I'm here to do. So affirming one thing and thinking another is going to result in fuzziness in our lives. Charles Fillmore, our co-founder, said, Thought plus feeling equals the demonstration. The words we use and the actions we take grind that and redouble that into our consciousness every day. So we have to ask, how clear have I been? How clear am I in affirming the good that I am looking for? Am I getting really detailed about what I'm looking for? The root of the word clear is the Latin word clarus. That means to call out. So to get clear about something means to call it out into the physical. To declare means to what? It means to make it clear, not only to myself, but to everybody around me, to the energy around me, this is what my life is, and I accept nothing less. What are you declaring in your life today? When we pray, do we say, oh God, just give me enough to get by? I'm not asking for a lot. That's a lovely prayer, isn't it? Somebody in California said to me, I just want enough to make ends meet. Uh-oh. And they said, I don't want much. Oh God. That's a lovely affirmation, isn't it? I just want enough to make ends meet. I don't want much together. Of course not. That's a terrible affirmation. But he was quite sincere. He said, God has so much and I just want my little bit. Oh, slowly I turn, step by step. We don't realize what we're saying. We're saying, we're trying to appease God. Thank God. It's like Tevye, if I only had a small fortune. You made many, many poor people. God didn't make any poor people. God made abundant people who said, well, I guess I can't have any. So what happens when we make these affirmations, I just want to make ends meet, I don't want very much, then when that comes forth, we get really mad. We get angry, we get upset. It's that God doesn't care about me. God, the universe loves you. You've just, what are your affirmations? What am I affirming all day long? I just have enough to take care of my bills and nothing more. That's what we're saying. That was the prayer. So, well, I didn't mean it. Well, then don't say it. Oh, I'm sorry. That's what we do. And we can cry about it, but it's not going to work. Affirm differently. She'll get it. She'll go to Sunday school and she'll get it. For example, would you go to McDonald's and say, oh, just give me a few French fries? I don't want to take anything away from anybody else. You know what, better, just give me what you think I'd like. The worker would look at you like you're nuts. No, you affirm you're good. You say, I'm going to give me a Happy Meal and a Guardians of the Galaxy cup. Amen. Thank you, God. And the worker goes, fine. Here's your Happy Meal, here's your cup. So you got what you want. You affirmed, you got, you paid, it was good. Jesus said, ask, and what? Knock. Seek. Gold stars for everyone. You're so good. Look at you. Well done. It's really clear. There was nothing. He didn't even have to explain it. Ask, and you receive. Knock, and the door is open. Seek, and you find. What's the problem? There's no problem here. Are you afraid of asking God? We're afraid of asking God because we have that old God image in our head. Are you afraid of asking the worker for a Happy Meal? Of course not. Health concerns aside, we're talking about. No, we have an idea what we like. We place the order. We ask. We affirm. We declare. And it comes to us. Very simple. Are you afraid of asking God, declaring to God what a wonderful and exciting career you'd like to have? Jesus said, ask. The reason why you don't have it is because you didn't ask, because you weren't clear about it. So we are afraid of asking because we're afraid of getting rejected. We're afraid of hearing no. No, you can't have that. Fear of an old idea that you have in your head of God, we now know is totally false. You've been around Unity for a while. You know this God idea is really not the truth of who I am. So we don't beg outside of ourselves. We know from, if you ever call silent Unity, there's not, oh God, please give John this wonderful new car. God, are you there? Well, if God is there, you'll probably get a car. If God wasn't listening, too bad, call back next week. That is not what you'll hear in silent unity. In silent unity, we pray from an awareness of God. We are divine beings, therefore we affirm the truth with this power at work to know that what I say goes. So we now know and declare that the right and perfect new car is coming forth. We are grateful for this revelation of truth, and so it is. God's not making any decision, well, you shouldn't have that car. You got to get a used car. Well, better yet, take that rusty old bucket from your neighbor. That's all you deserve. That is not God. That's our own ego trying to figure it out, and that'll never work. So we aren't afraid of asking for a happy meal because we're not going to hear a happy meal. You don't deserve a happy meal. Look at you. Happy meal? Who do you think you are? Go away. You're too old for a happy meal. No, you get the money, you pay the money, you get your happy meal. But so many of us have put our good aside, declaring that we don't deserve it. We do deserve it. You deserve to have a wonderful life, and this universe that we live in is longing to move this through you just because you are. Just because you are a creation of the universe, and the universe longs for expression through you. I deserve my good. Affirm that with me. I deserve my good. Again.
I deserve my good.
One more time.
I deserve my good.
Most of us are kind of getting that. A couple of people are sweating in the back there because you've never affirmed that before. It's a new phrase in your mouth. I deserve my good. I invite you to meditate on that this week. I invite you every morning to get up. I deserve the good. I deserve the good coming my way. I deserve vibrant health. I deserve a wonderful, successful career. I deserve the money I need to pay my way through this life. I deserve a right and perfect, wonderful, hot, glorious, wonderful person in my life. That's the only thing that ever gets a response. Yeah. Vibrant health. Great career. Hot, beautiful mate. Yes! I'm glad to know what excites this crowd here. That's really lovely. You know, I never went to Studio 54 when in its heyday. I was a young actor at that time. Because after a day of auditioning, I just didn't feel like being rejected by a bar. It's just like, no, I'm not going to go there. No, that's fine. I went to a regular bar where they didn't reject me in my dollar drinks. But somebody who worked there years ago said, oh my God, you would have gotten in no problem. But you know, when you don't believe that you deserve something, even a bar looks like it's going to kick you out. So we have to change our minds about who and what we are. Rejection can be one of the most terrifying things in life. Really, all it is hearing, no, your good is not right here at this moment. Keep the search going. It's like, okay, there we go. We fear approaching that person, because we feel that they'll reject me or worse, laugh at me. Rejection plus a value judgment. Thank you so much. That's all I really need right now. We fear going for a job because we think, oh, you know what, I'm too old now. I'm too bald, I'm too fat, I'm too thin, I'm too this, I'm too that. Or we may get halfway through a project that we love to do, and because it hasn't worked the way we think it should up to this point, we give and say, well, they're right, I'm going to give up, I'm not going to succeed, I'm going to go back to Oklahoma, forget about it, New York hates me. And you've only been at it for 3 days. Keep going. 3 days, 3 months, 3 years. Keep going. You're on your own timeline. There's no timeline in spirit. In Mark 8, we find a really interesting healing episode. Jesus was brought a blind man to be healed. So Jesus spit on the blind man's eyes, which is pretty gross when you think about it, isn't it? Come to me. Jesus loves me, this I know. Thank you. So he spit. And he rubbed the guy's eyes. What do you see? I have spit in my eyes. I can't see anything. What are you talking about? And he said, well, they kind of look like trees. They kind of look like trees. Oh, okay. Could you imagine Jesus at that point going, okay, I quit. Forget about it. It didn't work. I thought it was going to work. My spit is holy. My spit is great. Dad was right. I'm going to become a carpenter again. No. What did he do? He spit again. It worked. Hallelujah. He kept going. He kept doing the healing work. I know it's really weird when you think about it, isn't it? Thus said Jesus, spit upon the eyes. Like, okay, fine. But when you really think about it, you know, it's like disgusting to think that. But sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need that physical thing. And Jesus knew what people needed. Like, he needed that confirmation of physical manifestation. So he said, Jesus said, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll do that. If it looks gross to other people, so what? Who cares? What works for you? It's not about other people. It's about what works for you. So was Jesus a failure for not healing the man? Well, yeah, kind of. The first one, it only worked a little bit. But he didn't give up. That's the most important thing. Jesus did not give up. He kept going. The second time, the treatment took completely, and he succeeded. The reason we don't succeed is because we don't follow through with the guidance we receive from God. Okay, it worked a little bit, or only worked kind of, sort of. Well, you're not finished yet. Keep going. Keep doing what you're here to do. So many of us chuck it out if it doesn't work the first time. Keep moving forward. Jesus knew that the power of God within him was the healing power, and that sometimes the healing of the prosperity doesn't manifest the first time or the second time or even the fifth time. So you keep going. It's a process. It's a journey that we're on here. We ask, and then we ask again, and then we knock, then we seek, then we knock again, then we ask again, and then we spit again, and then we do whatever we need to do to make sure the good is coming forth. That is why we're here, to keep on keeping on until the truth takes hold. It can take years sometimes. You know, when you first come into unity, you go, oh, God, I know the five principles. I know thought, feeling, word, action. I know God is good. I am good, blah, blah, blah. It takes a whole lifetime to really know that, doesn't it? It takes an unfolding process. When you think back the first year in unity, you go, God, I got this. I manifest parking spaces. No problem. It's really, I'm so good at this. Then you realize it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning of a lifelong joy of finding out who and what you are. You know, the truth is, it isn't that God isn't blessing us. It isn't that God isn't answering our prayers. It's just we're coming into our good at the right and perfect time for us when we need it. It's here. It unfolds. It rarely lands in our lap in a neat bundle all at once. It's not like The Secret, which I have challenges with if you've taken any of my classes. The Secret, when the woman said, you know, I dreamed about a necklace and I affirmed a necklace and I showed up around my neck. It's like, oh God, I wish people weren't watching this. Because it's saying something that if it doesn't show up the first time for you, then you're doing it wrong. The truth is that was a fluke. That just happened to be there because that woman needed it at that very moment. But to affirm, that's the only way it's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen that way for you, then your failing is so incorrect. So don't see anybody else's manifestation as the way yours is going to happen or not happen. Failure simply means the fullness of God hasn't been made physical yet. That's all. It just hasn't happened yet. It's happening. It's going on a consciousness level, but it has not fully happened for you yet. If God is absolute good and God is, then God's good will show up. It will show up. It has no choice but to show up for a child of God. But when we keep thinking, keeping on in faith, thinking thoughts of success, feeling excited about it coming forth, using the words of truth, no matter what anybody is saying around you and not buying into their negative words, and acting as if the good is already here, then we can't fail. We simply cannot fail. During the California Gold Rush, there were two brothers who bought all the equipment that they needed to, and they began prospecting the gold ore. It didn't take long for them to find a vein, and after staking their claim, they got down to work, and they found more gold. It was wonderful, very exciting. Everything went great, except for one day they kept digging, and they found nothing. Nothing was happening for them. After a while, they kept digging and digging, nothing happened. They got fed up with seeing nothing happening for days, and so they sold their claim for $300. The man they sold the claim to hired an engineer, and the guy said, keep going. Digging only three feet, they hit gold, and the guy became a multimillionaire because these other guys gave up after a few days of not finding it. Only three more feet. We give up our dreams so easily because it seems God is not there for me. I've been digging for days and nothing's been happening. Seems the universe is not as friendly as I keep hearing on Sunday morning or in the books that I keep reading. You're only 3 feet away from it. You're only three thoughts away from it. You're only one thought away from having the good that God desires, the universe desires for you. The universe is 100% supportive of your goals, your dreams, and your desires because those came from God. Those were implanted in you. Those were what you agreed to before you came to the planet. Your soul knew what you wanted to do when you got here. But we keep affirming away what we knew, what we know in our hearts is ours to have. Believe it. Know it to be the truth. You are here by divine appointment, and it's waiting for you. Believing in God doesn't work. It's like, do you believe in God? Yes, I believe in God. Oh, that's nice. That's just a head concept. Carl Jung said, I don't believe in God, I know God. Big difference. Knowing God from the heart, believing comes from the head. Yeah, I believe in God. Sure. No, I know God because I see God, I feel God, I know that this wonderful energy is at work in me. We don't allow God to move through us, and that's why we continue to be in pain, and we continue to be in fear. It's painful to block God out. It's painful not to accept our good. It's painful to throw away joy by saying, I just want this much. Why can't God let me make ends meet? That's not a very big prayer. It's puny. That's a puny God. That's a God that's saying, well, maybe, let me think about it for a while. That's not God. Believing in God is a mental activity. Knowing God is owning God, every thought, every feeling, every fiber of your being, living and moving as a divine being. Knowing God is the realization that you're one with this wonderful divine energy. It's the unshakable truth that God has already made your life a success in reality, even though your eyes haven't seen it yet. Inside, in your heart, you know this is the truth. The picture keeps coming up. If the picture keeps coming up, it's for you. Often people will say to me, like in retreats or during class or counseling, I say, what are you here to do? They go, I really don't know. The truth is, fear is keeping that picture blurry. You know what you're here to do. Whatever gives you great love is what you're here to do. Whatever you wake up in the morning thinking about, feeling about, makes you sing out is why you're here. Well, I don't know how to get that. No, you don't, but spirit within you does. Your job is to say, thank you, God, take it. I don't know how to do this, but you do. Reveal to me what is mine today to do. Whatever your heart desires is God moving through you. Nothing is impossible with God at work. Nothing is impossible with God. As I know that truth with every fiber of my being, I can't help but get excited, be grateful, feel the passion and excitement and enthusiasm for my life working exactly the way that I picture it. Because it's all taken care of. You know that wonderful affirmation I've been using now for a while. God's got this. God's got this. Affirm that with me. God's got this. Again. God's got this. Breathe in. Close your eyes. Affirm that again. God's got this. A little quieter. Now breathe it in the quiet. God's got this. Let go of the old, worn-out images of God out there and allow the power of joy, of love, of all the good that there is to take hold. God, the universe, your life is just waiting for you to say yes to it. Breathe in and let go. As we prepare for our time of meditation, of getting quiet, we take within us this new idea, the new power of God at work. With I am so blessed for all that I have, all that I am, and all that God is. There's only one power, one presence, one life, one joy, one light. God the good. Know that. Accept it. Celebrate it in your heart right now. Thank you.
at the appearance seems to be contrary to that truth. As we hold to the truth of God within, we begin to see the truth of God on the outside. Our lives begin to form and shape according to the words we joyfully declare. I am so blessed for all that I have, all that I am, all that God is. And I continue to hold on to that truth. Like Jacob wrestling the angel all night, I will not let go until you give me a blessing. No matter how long it takes, we keep holding on. Holding on to God is not that difficult. It's joyful, it's wonderful. It brings peace and joy and a realization that this is all that there is, really. It's God and I, one. One power, one presence, one love, one light, one life. One continual unfolding joy. Relax into that truth. And know God's got this. The universe is 100% supporting, loving, sustaining, and nurturing you. I invite you to direct your attention to your body temple. This wonderful, wonderful blessing that carries you around the planet. That gets you to where you need to go. Whatever words to the contrary you've been affirming, we now know this is a powerful, strong, healthy being that I am. The love of God heals me now. I am strong and whole. Breathe that in. The love of God heals me now. I am strong and whole. No matter what the picture might be to the contrary, we let that go. Let it be. And know the God truth. We also quietly affirm the light of God brings new ideas for success. I am prosperous. That's the truth of every child of God, whether we are aware of it or not. As we affirm the truth takes hold, and my physical manifestation comes forth. As right home, clothing, food, whatever we call forth is good and holy. It helps us to live our lives. So whatever it is you desire, simply know it. Affirm it, anticipate it, and watch it come forth. The light of God brings new ideas for success. I am prosperous. If you've been wondering about what to do next in life, or there's a question up for you, you simply know the light of God guides me to the right answer. I know what to do, and I do it perfectly. Let that take hold. We often don't know the right answer for us, and we can't get it from another person or from what another person's doing. My life is perfect for me. Custom built. No one else has the life I have. Nobody else has the answer the universe has for me. So I joyfully and gratefully affirm the light of God guides me to the right answers. I know what to do, and I do it perfectly. Breathe in and let go. In the quiet of our being, just for a few moments, know the power of God. Know that the universe that created you loves you, supports you, is at work in you right now. My job is to agree with joy, with gratitude, and with faith. God's got this. great teacher said, ask that my joy in you may be complete. Ask for the simple joy of receiving the good that God is. There's only one power, one presence, one life, God the good. And so it is.